Tonight, our guest, William Thomas, controversial. As a matter of fact, you might not be able to get into his website, williamthomasonline.net. So he's asking you, if for some reason you can't, to send him an email at williamthomas@willthomasonline.net, if you would. And, well, you have to do that. But his website, willthomasonline.net, in case you have trouble getting there. Tonight, we're going to talk about chemtrails. And later on next hour, we're going to talk about cell phones and airships as well on Coast to Coast AM. William Thomas is an award-winning journalist during and immediately after the Gulf War. He served 5 months in Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait as a member of a three-man environmental emergency response team. A professional journalist since the mid-1960s, his writing, photography have appeared in more than 50 publications in 8 countries. William is the author of a number of books, as well as several electronic books dealing with cell phones and other electromagnetic hazards. And many listeners, of course, here to Coast know William Thomas for his work uncovering chemtrails. And we'll talk about that and get some updates as many of you continue to call in and email me about that. Hey, William, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be back with you and our listeners, George.
Far too long, though, my friend.
Far too long. We've all been very busy.
Well, we'll give you a little time to do some more research. Lots to talk about with you tonight. And I'm looking forward to next hour when you bring in Bob Lewis Rist also to talk about the airships. Fascinating.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Chemtrails. I still keep getting lots of emails and fast blasts and calls, William, about chemtrails all around the country. It's not isolated anymore. How about you? What's new?
It's just not going away. And we have a tremendous interest, of course, in Europe, from Greece to Italy and Germany in particular, into the EU Parliament. This story is just, it's got legs. We're, 9 years into this since I broke this with Art Bell. And it just goes on. Interestingly, you mentioned the website problems, willthomasonline.net, coming up apparently okay here in Canada, but not so good in the United States. I have a guy bird-dogging this tonight. We're looking at this, what he calls active denial of service, and he noted that the last time I was with you, George, with a gentleman named Hank, we had some glitches with the
right.
site about a day later. Well, I'm going to be talking about Hank in just a few minutes here, and we're wondering if the country I'm going to name by not naming might be involved. We don't know that, but it's very curious, the timing, because the site was okay yesterday until I posted my show notes.
Could we be slamming it, William, just this huge audience?
Not yet. I mean, this was a problem before... I think we had all the logons. Definitely, that's tough on any website.
Well, let me tell you, it's you're not the first. I mean, just last week I had Jordan Maxwell on the program.
Oh, boy.
And his website went down. I mean, went down. It had forbidden something on it, and it took a while to get it back up again. Strange.
Could be hits. Of course, I'm not all the way down. We're not getting 404s. We're getting links that won't work at all. No pictures, no page links, but the site itself is physically there. Now, if I had a glitch on my end, we'd be getting 404s, and we're not. So I don't know, but let's get into the chemtrails here in a minute.
Yeah.
and mention some sensitive things and see what happens to our phone connection.
All right. Yeah, really. Well, you know, since you've been talking about chemtrails, we continue to see different vapor trails up there, different looks, you know, the old tic-tac-toe patterns and things like that. I mean, so what's going on there? And also I see that chemtrails conspiracy is now in Wiki.
Yeah, Wikipedia has put us up. We're mentioned, my name's mentioned, Art Bell, and my investigative work. So that's very flattering. They call it the chemtrails conspiracy. And, of course, my question is, well, who are the real conspirators here? But, yeah, we're official now, I guess. We've been in Time Magazine and Wikipedia.
Well, you know, it is not unlike governments to spray their populations. They did it once to us. They did it over St. Louis. They've done it over Navy ships. Who's to say it's not going on now? You
well, that's the problem, and that's exactly where I'm going tonight. Talking, again, referring to Hank, my very well-connected source in the military as well as Congress. I've been breaking big stories with him, some of them on Coast to Coast over the past 15 years. And he's just informed me last year, and it's in my book, Chemtrails Confirmed 2007, that the spraying of biological stimulants over the United States that was supposed to have been stopped 20 years ago is, in fact, continuing out of our old favorite Fort Detrick, Biowarfare Central, and it has something to do with chemtrails.
What do you think they are spraying?
We know from lab tests in Edmonton, in Espanola, Ontario, and recently, I'll be talking about this in a few moments, brand new lab tests out of Florida.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I've got it in my hand, an official EPA registered lab test, barium, aluminum. In the early days, a lot of quartz were showing up in the chemtrail fallout. And by that, I have been meaning rain and snow falling through chemtrails. The Florida lab test is interesting because this individual picked up actual fallout crystals, fibrous, salty, crusted crystals. I have a picture of this on the website from Alberta, same material, on a sterile dish in her front yard. So actual chemtrail fallout, not rain and snow. And again, more barium and more aluminum. So that's absolutely confirmed. Of course, those are highly reflective materials. They jibe completely with the Welsbach patent, calling for the reduction of global warming through reflecting 1% of incoming sunlight, lowering temperatures. Mm-hmm. This is the late Dr. Edward Teller's big push. Not his idea, but he picked up on it and pushed it very hard before his death. So that jibes. We have two scientists at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base who worked on the project, actually worked on chemtrails, telling a reporter, yes, there was climate mitigation involved, and this jibes with our deep sky air traffic control source saying the same thing. The scientist said the barium is also used to bounce radar and radio waves over the horizon around the world, used to fly drones, send communications, do 3D mapping, things like that. So that has been confirmed, and Hank's source, who I'll be getting to in a moment, has also reconfirmed that over-the-horizon bounce aspect of chemtrails. So that's what we have in lab tests. We also have some very disturbing microscopic slide evidence that...
And is this the new lab stuff?
This is the new lab stuff out of Florida. This individual, who I'm calling Sandra, it's not her name, Sandra, sent me photographs taken through a high-powered 20,000-power microscope, not an electron microscope, but a regular microscope. And this analysis was done by, she described, a very well-known, very reputable microbiologist, but he has had three microbiologist friends killed. And obviously, we're not going to say anything more that could identify him. He took a look at this material and was very concerned at what he was seeing, but could not strictly identify it. He said, I want to be able to take this to court if I, you know, give you an ID on this. And I'm really not 100% sure what I'm seeing, but he's convinced, because so many people are coming into him with ailments, that he is convinced they are related to chemtrails. The picture showed something he called a viral capsid. Not sure what that is, but we all know the word viral.
Sure do.
Don't like the sound of that. She had her blood tested because she's been suffering from Lyme disease, and there were nematodes in her blood samples. We are definitely not saying that this is from chemtrails. We don't know where she picked up this worm, like these worms, but they've been killed, she said, through the medical intervention, and now she's good to go, as she puts it. So she's okay. But again, disturbing slide samples. We can't positively ID from, these are from the chemtrail fallout, definite lab tests showing, get this, George, aluminum that was so far off the scale, they had to dilute it at the lab five times to get a reading.
Now, what would massive amounts of aluminum do to us?
Well, again, the Welsbach patent for the Hughes Aircraft Corporation called for massive amounts of microscopic aluminum to be sprayed in the upper atmosphere to reflect incoming sunlight and to also change its frequency, literally change the frequency of the heat trapped between the upper atmosphere and the Earth's surface so that it would radiate into the far infrared spectrum back out into space.
Amazing.
Given the latest word on melting glaciers and climate shift, this doesn't seem to be working too well.
You know what's so strange, though, William? The work of Zachariah Sitchin, when he interpreted 5,000-year-old Sumerian tablets,
yes,
he said that the Anunnaki that apparently came to this planet from Nibiru, from above, from this 10th planet, that they were looking for gold because they needed to put gold particles in their atmosphere. Isn't that bizarre?
I certainly agree with you there. That's certainly bizarre, and I have heard that mentioned in other sources. I haven't seen any evidence of this.
Well, you talk about aluminum in the atmosphere. It just makes it sound like somebody's picked up the playbook of the ETs.
Well, as a journalist straddling the mainstream and alternative information, I'm very willing to listen to that. I do need some evidence. On the strictly scientific side, my concern, George, is that we have aluminum, and particularly this barium, highly conductive, not only toxic to the human body, with symptoms including twitching. And I've had the twitching eyelids, apparently from chemtrails, and that isn't pleasant. Gastro upset, gastroenteritis, also a major symptom of barium poisoning. We're seeing a lot of that with chemtrail-related illness. And barium, of course, is very highly electrically conductive, as I mentioned, like the electrolyte in the battery of your car. We're going to get into cell phones later on tonight
and
electromagnetic radiation. What happens when major cities filled with electric smog are dusted with barium chemtrails? I would suspect that that smog is amplified and conducted in very unpredictable and nasty ways. So I have some very big concerns over yet more unintended consequences with these chemtrails.
William, is it possible that other countries could be spraying their own countries, let's say like China, and it blows over here?
China is very big into weather modification, particularly with the Olympics coming up. But this is traditional cloud seeding, iodine crystals, things like that. And it looks like, I have inside sources saying that they are using HAARP-type technology and could even be fending off U.S. HAARP effects originating off the coast of South Africa, whether intentionally or otherwise. It seems to have something to do with recent earthquakes in China and severe weather and flooding in China, and they may be trying to counteract that with a HAARP-type electromagnetic device. But back to the weather modification, that's traditional, and that would not be big enough and strong enough to be blowing across and affecting our weather. The United States of America is the only country and military with 700-plus active tanker aircraft. Other countries just don't have that capacity to spray that many chemtrails. Of course, German television last September on the 25th blew the minds of people throughout Germany when they put out a news story claiming that the German Air Force was spraying what the news people termed chemtrails, over Germany in very large amounts. So
you have backed off, though, saying that you believe that there could have been germs or any biowarfare pathogens dumped into the air. You haven't said that yet over all the years.
I've been very careful. There's been a lot of that on the internet. I haven't seen proof. Attempting to be responsible as a journalist, I've been very careful to not say that. I have said repeatedly that it appears that chemtrails are bringing down viruses, bacteria, germs. germs, pathogens on the upper atmosphere that live and breed up there and don't interfere with us, except when they latch on to these chemtrails and fall to the ground and get into our respiratory system. I have warned about that. Interestingly, George, both scientists at Wright-Patterson, without prompting, brought that same point up and expressed their same concern that pathogens were being brought down from the upper atmosphere. Now, I have an informant, an insider, I'm calling Ezekiel, who approached my friend Hank through and in the company of the two military intelligence agents that have made many visits to his home, he's listening right now, over the past few years, and we've broken stories like poppers. We did that with you on Coast to Coast.
Yep.
We broke the story of Israel's abortive nuclear airstrike on Iran, on Iran, and boy, the fur flew over that one all the way to the Knesset. We were thanked by those intelligence agents on behalf of many countries and military agencies for our intervention. Well, they approached him last year with a man in tow from a very small, hot, beleaguered country, staunch ally of the United States, whom I'm calling Ezekiel. And in his hand, he had a copy of a paper called The Mission. And this is a hypothetical scenario Hank developed while he was active in the U.S. military in 95, detailing a hypothetical chemical raid by U.S. forces. This gentleman was very concerned, he says, because we accomplished this technology in 1996. How did you know about it? He came forward to see Hank because he was concerned that chemtrails were being used, and this is where I now am on board. I'm on board with the biowarfare simulant aspect of chemtrails because he said he's actively working on the program and that the open-air test you mentioned earlier of biological simulants during the 70s and 80s supposedly shut down are continuing with Fort Detrick issuing final project grants to be released over U.S. cities today. And this gentleman said that perhaps 1 in 100 chemtrail missions are being piggybacked with biosimulant releases, and many of the other flights are tracking the pathogens that naturally exist in the upper atmosphere that I just mentioned.
Sure.
And the military is tracking hospital admissions to look at dispersal patterns of the chemtrails and the biological agents, whether natural airborne pathogens or artificially introduced biowarfare simulants, enough to make people sick enough to visit a doctor or a hospital.
A lot of people are out there too, William, with very strange respiratory illnesses. Lots of people out there.
Doctors do not know what this is. The EPA, remember a few years ago I was on Coast to Coast, the EPA said this is an epidemic of fatalities, and we don't know what it is. And doctors still do not, they call it upper viral, you know, respiratory symptoms, and they call it gastroenteritis or what, you know, and there's heart problems. But no one can really pin this stuff down.
All right, well, stay with us, Will. We're going to come right back. We're going to talk more about chemtrails, and also I want to ask you about jet vapor and just see what percent might be just normal. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour with William Thomas, we're going to talk about cell phones, the possible dangers of using them, also his story on airships. But when we come back, we'll continue talking about chemtrails. By the way, if you're not a subscriber to the After Dark newsletter, come on. All you got to do is call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com where you get 13 issues for the price of 12. William, jet vapors, of course, natural from jets. What percent are we looking at here?
Boy.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is tough. When I am evaluating photographs, and I get a lot of them and see even more on the internet, I look for outrageous patterns. And I posted some new pictures on my website. Let me interrupt my own cell here and quickly say I've just got word, George, that there might be a possible workaround. If people type into Google, willthomasonline.net, willthomasonline.net, type that into Google, and apparently someone just told me that he was able to get the entire website by doing
by
that.
By doing that. Then it comes up, then you just click that.
Yeah, so if so, you will see photographs of skies so saturated with trails that you know they cannot possibly be condensation trails. Having said that, we have a major problem with contrails and climate change, in fact, climate shift. I was one of the first writers to talk about the impact of jet airliners on climate back in the early in the 1990s with a magazine called Eco Decision.
Mm-hmm.
And these contrails are now have now been verified by science that each additional 5% increase in cloud cover caused by contrails or chemtrails for that matter gives us a regional temperature increase of 1 full degree during daytime, more than 2 degrees Fahrenheit at night. So both the contrails and the chemtrails contributing as much as greenhouse gases, according to Pennsylvania State University. So with 3 million people flying every day, George, 35,000 daily flights across the United States, we're seeing cloud cover up to 20% higher than before the jet age took off in the 60s. So this is huge. Water vapor, by the way, it traps more heat than CO2. So the people talking about hydrogen-powered airplanes had better rethink how to capture the water vapor coming off the engines, because even with jet engines, water vapor is extremely polluting.
You know, with the upcoming Olympics in China, there's some controversy over the fact that they have built open-aired stadiums. And a lot of people said, now, this is the rainy season. What are they doing? The Chinese have basically guaranteed there won't be any rain during the Olympics. How can they guarantee that?
They have absolutely guaranteed that, and that's a fascinating question. If they are using HARP-type technology in conjunction with spraying something more sophisticated than the iodide crystals I alluded to earlier, perhaps they know more than we know about weather modification and what's possible. Again, to make that kind of a guarantee, and you're right, they have said emphatically, don't worry, it will not rain. Stay tuned on that one.
You know, the people in Europe as opposed to the people in the United States, is everyone getting a dose of this at this time?
It sure looks that way. I mentioned German television, we have quite a few reports still coming in from the UK, even Ireland and Scotland. I've not seen much from France, but I have in the past. Spain, certainly, Italy. It sure looks that way. And when the RTL television people went to the Greens, who were making a big uproar over this in Parliament, in the EU Parliament, they said that this is widespread throughout Europe. And that was very puzzling, George, because the German military was telling the news reporters in Germany that, hey, this is just the chaff that, you know, we spread in the sky to disrupt radar. That's the same explanation given in Florida a few years back when there were a lot of chemtrail sightings, and they said, oh, no, that's just chaff. And, of course, the question immediately comes to mind is, my God, why are you doing that over such heavily traveled air routes when you need radar to keep planes from bumping into each other? Didn't make any sense. But a meteorologist with RTL TV, Karsten Brent, also said, you know, this was very puzzling. He bought their story, but then when he looked at it again, he said, this artificial cloud was so widespread. Some of these were 350 kilometers long, and they were only showing up on meteorological radars, not on normal radars. And he said, this is stunning. The radar images are stunning. He was looking at them as a meteorologist. He said, they needed tons and tons of material, and yet the Federal Army of Germany says they're only spraying small amounts of material. So we have a contradiction here. And Johann Remmel of the Greens said, it's obvious that enormous regions are being polluted with what he termed clandestine actions, and all of this has to be made public. So a long answer, but detailed, yes, Europe is being hammered. And Carson Brent, the meteorologist, went on to file a legal charge against persons unknown for weather manipulation based on his own verifications and data gathered by radar of what he called anomalous cloud formation.
You know, William, sometimes in the morning you wake up, I know a lot of times I saw this in St. Louis, where you would see what is normally dew, so I know what that is, but I would see this weaving look all over the place in the early hours. You know, by the time I get off the air there, and if I'm up for an hour or so, the sun's starting to come up, I see this weaving look. Is that spider webs, or is that something that they've dropped down on us?
It certainly wasn't spider webs, George, when the Denver airport was completely shrouded with these things in the dead of winter some years back. And a police officer had it all over his uniform. And they said, those are spider webs. He says, in winter in Denver? I don't think so. So the long answer, short answer, I don't think so. What I do think is that these are polymers, and they are definitely connected with chemtrails, because when I phoned Bernard Eastland, the inventor of HAARP, some years back in my investigations, caught him in his backyard in Texas. He said, oh yeah, polymers. Well, I invented HAARP for weather manipulation, and of course you can shoot the high-intensity beams of HAARP through the atmosphere, but they're not going to heat anything unless they have a matrix to heat up, and that would be polymers. And he said that in Ohio, near Wright-Patterson, home of HAARP and Tesla technology, there was a company making polymers that could be tuned to specific frequencies. And you could hit those polymers with HAARP at those frequencies, heat them up, and of course, weather is a heat-driven phenomena, and change weather and do various nefarious things. So I think the polymers are definitely connected with weather modification, electromagnetic disruptions using HAARP at long distances. And we have to put this forward. I've done a lot of work on biological warfare, and I know more than I'd ever care to want to know. I wrote a book called Bringing the War Home about Gulf War illness, and learned at that time that you cannot spray biological warfare agents at high altitudes because they disperse too much. Sunlight kills these bugs. UV kills them, and you need low-level spraying at night unless you encase these critters in polymers to protect them, polymers that would later break down. I have to, again, emphasize, I do not know if this is being done, but we have been seeing lab-confirmed polymers in microscopic samples taken to labs in the last few years. So for whatever reason, those might not be spider webs, especially the 40-foot long ones draped over the phone lines and phone poles.
William, why can't we determine what the heck this is being used for? Are we being dumbed down? Are they trying to kill us? Are we just overreacting? Is it nothing? What? Why can't we figure this out?
I think we are overreacting, and I think we have every right to freak out because we're not being told the truth. We're not being told anything. And so speculation is rampant, and that's sad because people are getting
it could be simple.
Out.
Maybe they're saying there's something wrong with the sun. We're spraying this to keep you all from getting skin cancer. Well, if that's the case, tell us this.
You're onto something there, and certainly mitigating UVB with these artificial clouds, we've been told, and we've taken measurements, we the investigators, and seen sharp decreases in UV under these chemtrails. Remember, crop losses are huge. Human cataracts and skin cancers are off the charts, even in North America. So there's a definite reason to be spraying these over cities. Although, as we mentioned, spraying chemtrails over open air events like parades, sports events, and upwinds of cities so they drift down also has a biological warfare simulation aspect to it. But definitely UVB, definitely and absolutely a mitigation, attempted mitigation of something I'm calling climate shift, because we're moving very quickly beyond climate change, which we tend to think of something gradual. We're talking a flip switch, a trigger being pulled, ice sheets not melting but sliding rapidly into the ocean, like major earth changes as prophesied. And there is, I can use the word panic in very high scientific circles, advising governments, we've got to get a handle on this. And I'm absolutely convinced that chemtrails is, to a large extent, an attempt to mitigate climate shift. This is what Deep Sky, the air traffic control manager on the East Coast, told reporter S.T. Brent and myself in taped interviews before eyewitnesses. This is what he was told. It matches our patents. It matches our lab samples. But as Hank said, they're also piggybacking the biological warfare simulation. And to add to the barium and over-the-horizon aspect of chemtrails, Hank said that Ezekiel, remember Ezekiel, told him that aerial obscuration, that's the Air Force term, they used it in their Owning the Weather 2050 report, it's used to keep radiation from penetrating it from above. Bounces radiation from below, radar and radio, deflects electronic spy satellite sweeps without destroying the satellite, Hank said. That would be an act of war. So it is a cloaking device as well, the chemtrails with the barium, and you can go to your own speculation about what and who they're cloaking against, but that has been confirmed. That's another aspect of chemtrails. Jumping back to the biological warfare aspect for just a second,
Sure. This
is interesting here. He said that, you know, when you spray these things over a large area, cover area X in an X amount of time, and you look for the biological markers from those hospital visits and doctor's visits, whether it's the pathogens existing in the air brought down to earth or something added to the mix, you can find that your biowarfare agents will hit the ground in plus or minus concentrations. In other words, you can determine the target saturation against a targeted population. It gets pretty diabolical at this point, George, because Hank's revealed through Ezekiel mad scientists experimenting with these very diabolical weapons are attempting to find out how they could spray agents from high-flying aircraft to, as Ezekiel described it, take out an entire country. Now, I have problems with this, and I've had a lot of problems with spraying biologicals as chemtrails because I said repeatedly, including coast to coast, we don't have enough biological agent on the planet to load one of these aircrafts. Well, now we have the last piece of the puzzle, and I'm on board, as I mentioned earlier, with the biowarfare aspect. And here it is, and it's called HAARP, as so many of your listeners have suspected. What is happening in about 1 out of 100 chemtrail missions, according to a scientist working on the project?
Right. 1 out of 100. It's important that we
understand. 1 out of 100, not every one, roughly 1 in 100. They're spraying what he called dusty agents in the sky. That's biowarfare, dusty agents. They're hitting them with HAARP. They're hitting them twice. You know, foot. You get an initial energy burster that blows this dry agent, dusty agent apart, and a second burst atomizes it into nano-sized particles. This can be done because you tune HAARP. We talked about that a moment ago. You tune it to the frequencies of the thing that you're spraying, the agent that you're spraying. So here's the answer to my conundrum. Obviously, you can take a very small amount of this material, break it into nanoparticles, that's submicroscopic, and cover a vast, vast area with a little bit of material by pulverizing these agents, bioagents. So there you go. That's how they are able to spread these things, and that's what they are working on for weapons of mass destruction, mass death, by spraying entire countries and hitting them with HAARP technology.
How can people, simply looking into the sky, determine whether they're getting hit with a chemtrail or whether it's just old jet vapor? Can you tell when you look at it?
Not really. The good news is if you're looking up at a chemtrail, it's not going to hit you because it will disperse and blow away from you. It will not drop straight down There are too many currents, air currents between it and you. If you're looking at chemtrails offshore, say the California coast or upwind of your city, you may have a problem. You don't know whether you do or not, and you really won't know unless you start getting ill and end up in an emergency room, and then definitely you have a problem. Here's the deal with chemtrails, though. Just the garden variety, barium and aluminum, we're talking a tenth of the diameter of a human hair. The EPA said when you're down to 10 microns, you have an extreme human health hazard. Doesn't matter whether it's toxic or not. A particle of dust that small irritates your lungs, can irritate your heart, inflame it in the walls of your heart, cause all kinds of problems, even if it isn't toxic. EPA was worried about ground level air pollution, right, from cars and jets, things like that. So chemtrails, just an actual chemtrail that isn't toxic in itself, because of its very small size, is extremely hazardous. So what I'm trying to say here, there are no safe chemtrails, whatever the constituents are. And again, you don't know if some kind of virus or bacteria mutated by UV in the upper atmosphere so that your body cannot recognize it has latched on to this aluminum, by the way, a favorite matrix of these pathogens, aluminum, and come down to the ground. You don't know if government's running a biowarfare simulation on you, as they have been doing since the 70s and 80s. We just don't know looking at it.
Why would they do these in tic-tac-toe patterns and be so obvious?
Well, they want saturation, I'm imagining. They would want total saturation. And, you know, they don't care about being obvious because most people, A, don't look up. B, most people won't look up if you ask them to look up.
Whatever happened to a clear day?
Clear days are still being forecast. That's very interesting. Still being forecast, and yet we're not finding them. We go outside, the clear days and the normal blue skies seem to have been stolen from us.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. How's the website holding up?
I have no idea myself. I'm getting it fine here. Other people in Canada are reporting no problems with the website here. I'm getting lots of emails. I haven't had time to actually go into them, George. So, again, Googling willthomasonline.net. Might do the job.
Top of the hour, William, we'll talk about airships. We'll bring in Bob Lewis first, and then toward the latter part of the hour, we'll talk about cell phones. But let's bring Bob in a few minutes, okay?
Super, yeah.
We'll do that. And again, William's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. You should be able to get on, I trust. So go ahead and take a look at it, and we'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.